Good morning, church family and friends. You know, it's really hard to believe that it's been 4 weeks since we have gathered together here at Bible Baptist Church as a church body. I don't think any one of us would have ever dreamed that we would not be able to assemble for this long of a period of time, but God knows. And in the midst of all of this anxiety and heartache and loss, God is working, always working, His beautiful plan for His glory and for the good of His people. You know, it's not natural for us to practice social distancing. God didn't create us that way. God created us to come together in community and to fellowship together as a church body. But I know for this time that it's necessary. But I'm looking forward to the time when we can come back together and fellowship one with another. And one thing I am thankful for is that God does not practice social distancing with us. I'm so thankful for that. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Aren't you thankful for that promise? What a wonderful promise that we have as we gather together online today. This is not a normal assembly, but I'm thankful that we have this opportunity, and I'm thankful that God promises to never leave us nor to forsake us. In the message this morning, I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of John. We're going to continue in our series and pick up in chapter 3, verses 16 through verse 21. But I want to begin this morning with this question. How do we know that God really loves us? How do we know that God really loves us? You know, if God so loved the world, like He said in John 3:16, then why did God allow the COVID-19 pandemic to take place? Why would, or how could a loving Father permit so much pain and sin and misery among His creatures if God really loved us? You know, those are questions that people like to ask. And I believe that our text this morning will help to answer those questions. Because our text, it really presents a balanced view of God and who He is. And a lot of times people get, they swing onto this pendulum way over here of the love of God to the neglect of the holiness of God. But then there are some that swing way over here to the holiness of God, to the neglect of the love of God. But here we find in our text this morning, it shows the holiness, the righteousness, and the judgment of God on one hand, but then it also shows God's mercy and His grace and His love. You know, when we look at the cross, you see those different aspects of God's character. And I want to read in verse 16 of John 3. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before you today. We are so thankful, Lord, that you've given us this opportunity to be able to go to your word and look at this most well-known passage in the word of God that shows this your holiness as well as your love. Lord, we see your judgment and your wrath against sin as well as your mercy upon sinners. God, we thank you for revealing to us who you are. And I pray this morning that as we look at this passage of Scripture, Lord, that you would speak to hearts, that you would open eyes to be able to see truth about who you are and how much you love us and how much you want to save those who do not know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I'm so grateful for what Christ has done for us. I'm so grateful that for the songs that we just sang just a moment ago. I'm so thankful that Christ, indeed, he holds us fast. I'm so grateful, Lord, that we are in your hand, those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, that no man can pluck us out. Lord, that you keep us to the end. Lord, I just pray for those that do not know our Savior. I pray this morning that through your word and by your Holy Spirit, that you would bring them to faith in Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, John 3:16, it is the most famous, the most well-known, and most well-loved verse in the Bible. If you were to ask anyone to quote a Bible verse, it's probably going to be John 3:16. Now, I want you to notice how it begins in John 3:16. The first word is a preposition, the preposition for. For God so loved. You know, many times we can overlook these small words in the Word of God, but every word of God is important. And God has breathed out every word. And so we need to look at this word. What is this preposition for? What does it mean? Well, it connects this verse to the previous two verses, verses 14 and 15. And in verses 14 and 15, basically what you have is that those verses point to the necessity of the cross, that Jesus must be lifted up on the cross to die for the sins of the world. Now, let me just ask this. Why would the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, why would God's only begotten Son need to be crucified? Why is it that the Scripture says he must be lifted up? Why did he have to be lifted up on that cross? Because if you look at the Jewish leaders, they could find nothing worthy of death in Jesus. The only thing they could find was his claim to be the Son of God, which they considered blasphemy. But it was indeed the truth that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And then the governor, Pilate, when he judged Jesus, he found no fault in him. And so why did Jesus have to die? Why the necessity of the cross? Well, he tells us in verse 16, he says, for God so loved the world. That's one of the reasons why that Jesus had to suffer the horrible crucifixion, because of God's great love for you and for me. You know, right here we see the mercy and the love and the grace of God. For God so loved the world. Look at the third word in this verse, a very small word, the word so. It's an adverb. It modifies the verb loved. For God so loved. You know, this little word, it's very significant because it speaks of the intensity of God's love, of the greatness of God's love for the sinner, that God really, really does love us. And that's the reason that Jesus went to the cross. That's the reason God gave His only begotten Son to go to the cross, because of His great love for you and for me. But we also see in verse 17, it starts with that word "for." For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so that's another reason why Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to go to the cross to save the world from condemnation. You know, this is an amazing thought to think about, that God would love us that much. Because when you look into the Scriptures, you find that we're sinners. In Romans chapter 3, it says that, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Chapter 3 and verse 10. And then in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the Bible very clearly shows that we have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. But I want to also look at a passage in Romans 5. Because as you think about the greatness of God's love, how great is His love for us? Paul, he talks about that in chapter 5 of Romans. He says in verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to notice something here in this passage, that Christ did not die for the righteous. Christ died for the ungodly. And He goes on to explain that you could scarcely find a man to die for a righteous man, or even a good man. Some would even dare to die. He said it's really hard to find someone to die for a good man. You know, you know good men that are leaders, and sometimes people will lay down their life for a friend who is a good friend. But now I want you to notice verse 8 begins, but God. This is a word of contrast. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, I love that phrase, but God. You know, God's love is unlike the love of men. It's far greater than any love that you can ever know on this earth, that you can ever experience. But God commendeth. What does this word commendeth mean? Well, to commend means to praise. If you were to commend someone, you're praising someone. Or to represent as worthy of notice or regard. And so what God is saying in this verse, look at My love for you. Look at My great love that I have for you. God commended His love. He's in other words, showing His love is worthy to be recognized and regarded. It's worthy of our notice because it's so amazing that God would take something so very dear and precious to Him and give for us who are sinners. God demonstrates this love in a very tangible way. He gave His only begotten Son. Back to John 3:16. For God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. And as we read in Romans 5:8, He said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the reason Jesus had to go to the cross. The necessity of the cross was because we are condemned because of our sin. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now this word "for" in Romans 5:8, where He says Christ died for our sins, it's the Greek word "hyper," which means in the place of or in the behalf of. And what we see here is that Christ took our place as our substitute as He went to the cross. He bore our sins on the cross. He bore God's wrath for us. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord had laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Yes, Jesus took our sins. He bore the wrath of God for our sins. Right here we see the holiness, the righteousness, the justice, the judgment of God. God's holy and righteous law demands that sin be punished with death. For the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23. That is God's just sentence for sin. The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, shall die. Well, Jesus came and offered Himself in our place. Jesus died for us. He took our place. He became our sin bearer. He became our substitute. And so you see there at the cross, you see the holiness of God. You see how God punishes sin, how God upholds His law. He is righteous. He upholds His law. As the sins of the world are laid on Jesus, God judges sin in His Son, Jesus Christ. So you see God's holiness and His righteousness. You see His judgment against sin when Jesus hung on that cross and when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus bore the weight of the sins of the world. But we also see the love of God there at the cross. Because Jesus taking our place. Jesus who had no sin. The Bible says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He had no sin. He was born of a virgin. Now notice in verse 16 and 17 again, for God so loved the world that He gave. God gave His Son. And then verse number 17, for God sent not His Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He sent His Son. He gave His Son. He sent His Son. God sacrificed someone that He cared about, His only begotten Son, so that you and I can have the gift of eternal life. You know, God is not like that little boy who gift wrapped a toy that he didn't want anymore and gave it as a birthday gift. No, God willingly gave His only begotten Son, His own dear Son for you and for I. And here's the wonderful thing about this truth, that God, that salvation, eternal life, it did not cost you and I anything, but it cost God dearly. It cost Him His only begotten Son. And God clearly demonstrated His amazing love to the whole world by this single act of love. So as we come to this question that we're asking, how can we know that God really, really loves us? We just have to look at the cross. We just have to go to the cross and we can see the love of God there on display. God commending His love to us. God saying to us, look at my love. Look at how much I love you. Someone said that God's love was so amazing, not because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad. Boy, that's the truth. We do not deserve God's love. Neither can we earn it. We are all sinners deserving of God's wrath. As we read in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. That means you and that means I. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short of the glory of God, God's standard of righteousness. We've all missed the mark of God's standard of righteousness. We're all sinners. And so before we start asking, how could God love us if He allowed COVID-19? Before we start asking that question, we need to take a look in the mirror at ourselves. You know, if you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, well, I'm a pretty decent person. I'm not as bad as my neighbor over here who's a drunkard. Listen, if that's how you see yourself in the mirror, then you're looking in the wrong mirror. You're looking in the wrong mirror. You know, in James chapter 1, In verses 23 through 25, James compares the Word of God to a mirror. And he talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. He talks about being a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. And that if you hear the Word of God, but you don't do the Word of God, he said it's like a man that looks in the mirror and then he goes away and forgetting what manner of man he was. Listen, if you and I honestly look right here in the mirror of the Word of God, we're going to see that we're a sinner deserving of God's wrath. We're a sinner that's condemned. I want you to notice in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, the purpose of God sending his Son in his first coming, it was not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, the Jewish leaders, they were looking for a Messiah to come and to condemn the Roman government, condemn the Roman armies, and to deliver the Jews from oppression. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus, let me say, did not need to come to earth to condemn mankind. Jesus did not need to come to earth to condemn mankind. Why? Because we are condemned already. That's what he tells us in verse 18. He that believeth not is condemned already. That's the key word, already condemned. Let me explain this to you. God created everything. He created you. He created me. He created all the animals, created the stars, the galaxies, the ocean, the mountains, the rivers. God created all. He's the creator of all things. And when you read Genesis in chapter 1, you read about the creation, the 6 days of creation and how God rested on the seventh. In the very last verse in chapter 1 of Genesis in verse 31, it says, and God saw all that he had created and he said, it is very good. It is very good. What does that mean? It means that it was perfect. God did not create evil. God did not create COVID-19. God did not create death or sin or any of these things that we suffer today. God did not create those things. God created a perfect world where there is perfect fellowship with him, where there is perfect peace. There is no sin. There was no death. There was no sorrow. There was no sickness. It was a perfect and peaceful world. But Adam sinned against God by stepping out from under God's perfect and wise rule. And the result was condemnation. Adam and Eve, as a result of sin, they were not only expelled from the Garden of Eden, but they were placed under a sentence of death. And from that point forward, human history is a series of funerals, one after another. You know, whether God sent the COVID-19 virus as a judgment for our sins is really not the question we should be asking ourselves. The question we should be asking ourselves is this. Are you now under God's condemnation? That's the question you need to ask. You know, because if we look here in these verses that we've read, where he talks about whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This word perish, it's the opposite of everlasting life. In other words, it's talking about eternal perishing in hell, the Bible talks about. If you don't believe on the name of the Son of God, if you don't trust him as your Savior, then you will perish in your sins. You will spend eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible teaches that. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. You know, hell is a real place. It's a real place. And it's not a party. It's not a joke. Jesus warned us about it, this place called hell. It's a place where sinners who sin against an infinitely holy God must suffer infinite punishment. And because of this sin, because of this condemnation that came upon the entire human race when Adam and Eve sinned against God, mankind needed a divine Savior, someone who could deliver from that sin and condemnation. And that's the whole story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is about how God so loved the world that He sent, that He gave His only begotten Son. That's the story of the Bible. You know, in verse 18, I want to look at this verse. He says that he that believeth on Him is not condemned. This is such a wonderful verse. Is not condemned. This word condemned means it's a legal term. It's a word that they would use in courts. It means to judge a person to be guilty and liable to punishment. You know, this is amazing truth. He that believeth on Him, he's referring back to Jesus Christ. He that believes on Jesus Christ. The word believe means to put your rest your faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to put all your trust in Him. If you trust what Jesus did, that He died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again, He says you shall be saved. You shall have everlasting life. You will not be condemned. In other words, you will not be considered guilty or liable to punishment. So if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're not condemned. How can this be true? You know, this seems so simple. All we have to do is put our trust in Jesus. Well, that's what the Bible says. All we have to do is put our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on Him, to rest all of our weight upon Him, to trust in who He is and what He did for us. And the reason why that it's true is because all the righteous demands of the law of God were fulfilled at the cross. See, Jesus came and He fulfilled the law all throughout His life. He lived a perfect life without sin. Then He went to that cross and He bore our sin. And you know, just like in the song we sang just a moment ago, justice was satisfied. Justice was satisfied. You know, God's holiness and God's righteousness was satisfied at the cross because Jesus, He was a perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God taking away the sin of the world. Perfect sacrifice. He fulfilled the law. He was condemned for us. He suffered the curse of sin for us. And so when we believe on Jesus Christ, our sins are removed. They are under the blood of Jesus. And in our count, instead of saying guilty, our count says righteous. That's so amazing. That's so amazing. Paul said in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God. We're no longer enemy. We're no longer separated from God. But we have peace with God because we're justified by faith. We're declared righteous by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we read a verse just the other, I think last Sunday in Romans chapter 8. We were looking at those questions. And in verse 34, Paul asked this question. Who is he that condemneth? In other words, who is he that judgeth? And it says, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Boy, think about this. Jesus, the one who paid our sin debt, He's now standing at God's right hand, making intercession for us. No one, listen, no one can condemn us. The reason why is because Jesus paid it all. There's nothing left to pay. He paid for all of my sins, past, present, future. All of my sins were laid on Jesus when He was nailed to that cross. There is no double jeopardy. God will never call us into account of our sins again. Whenever we put our faith and trust in Christ, our sins are washed away. They are cast as far as the east is from the west. This phrase is not condemned in John 3:18. It's in the present tense. Present tense, passive voice. which means the condemnation. Once we put our faith and trust in Christ, the condemnation has already been removed by God. You know, passive means it's being acted upon, that we're not acting it out. God removes that condemnation. We're not condemned. It's saying, what it's saying is right now, right here, you are free from condemnation. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're free from condemnation. You know, sometimes we as believers, sometimes we can start condemning ourselves. We can mess up. We can fall into sin because of we are still in the flesh. And sometimes if we're not walking in the Spirit, we fulfill the lust of the flesh. We start condemning ourselves. We can start feeling that, you know, well, maybe we're not saved. But you know, when we do that, we forget the power of the cross. We forget the payment of the cross. That Jesus freed us from sin's guilt once and for all. But I want you to notice the second part of this verse in contrast. He says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't need to wait till judgment day to find out whether you are going to heaven or not. If you have not believed on the name of the Son of God, if you have not believed and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Bible tells us that you're already condemned. That means you're right now, you're condemned. You're under God's wrath. You're under God's condemnation. If you die in your sin, you will be separated from God for eternity. Because your sin bears a penalty, and the Scripture says that that penalty is death and condemnation. Now, with this seriousness of this and the opportunity to come to Christ, many people would say, well, why do sinners reject Jesus? I mean, here he gives us such a wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How could anybody refuse such a gift? How could anybody ever turn that down? Why do people not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, listen to what Jesus said in verse 19. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world. Now, Jesus is the light. John chapter 1 tells us that. Jesus is the light. He's coming to the world. And men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. What does this verse tell us? It gives us the one reason why people do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the one reason why people reject Jesus Christ? He tells us right here, because of the love of sin, because of the love of darkness. You know, when Christ came into the world, he shined the light. He exposed sin. And people that do not want their sin exposed, who love their sin, they don't want to come into the light. You see, because sinners love sin. It's not ignorance that causes them to not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not misunderstanding that causes them not to believe. It's because they love their sin and they won't come to Christ. You know, it's kind of like when you lift up a rock, you know, when you pick up a rock and all those bugs that are hiding under the rock, they take off. When the light exposes the bugs, they take off for the darkness. That's where a lot of people are today. When they hear the gospel, they run. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to come to church. They resent the gospel. They resent church. They resent the Lord Jesus Christ because their love of darkness, their love of sin. But you know, these verses 19 through 21 also tell us that condemnation is the result of man's choice, of man's refusal of the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You know, God will not send you to hell, but your sin of unbelief will send you to hell. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no one to blame but yourself for going to hell. You know, if people say, well, why would God send someone to hell? Listen, you need to ask another question. Why would God send His Son to die for your sin? Why? Because we're guilty sinners. We've rebelled against God. We've gone our own way. Why would God send His Son for us? That's the question we need to ask. God so loved that He gave. God so loved that He sent. He sent His Son, and the sacrifice has been made, and the payment has been made. And when Jesus was on the cross, He said, "It is finished." He paid the debt in full. The gift of God is yours, and for the taking, the receiving by faith. And so if you reject the gift of God, then it's your own fault. You know, when Christ came into the world, when the light of the gospel shines into your heart, there's only one of two things that can happen. It can either break your heart and lead you to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or it can drive you, harden your heart and drive you further into the darkness. The difference is your response to the gospel. You can't blame God. You only have to blame your own choice. Let me ask you this morning, how are you going to respond to the gospel? How are you going to respond? Are you going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you going to reject the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it says here that he that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are to rejoice today that you are no longer under condemnation. There is no condemnation. There is no judgment for your sin anymore. It's been put under the blood. Your fellowship, yes, it can be hindered by your sin today. You can break your fellowship with God. You can lose the peace and joy in the Christian life and the victory in the Christian life, but you cannot lose your salvation. But if you're here today and you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus, what are you going to do about it? What's your choice going to be? Because I want you to know, he that believeth not is condemned already. While you're trying to make that choice, whether to come to Christ or to wait or not to come to Christ, you need to realize you're under condemnation right now. And if you were to die of some tragic accident, you would immediately go into hell, according to the Bible. I want to urge you, I want to plead with you today to come to Christ, to put your faith and trust in Him. To cry out to God, "Be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He was buried and He rose again. I believe that He took my place, Lord, and I'm calling out to You today to save me from my sin. Give me eternal life, O Lord." If you believe that with your heart, you cry out to God, the Bible says you shall be saved. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your great love for us, Your amazing love, Lord, that You gave Your only begotten Son, Your dear Son, Lord, You gave up for us. Lord, that's just beyond what we could even think. Lord, why would You die for us? Why would You send Your Son? Lord, if it was, I have a son, and Lord, there's no way I would give up my son to take the place of a murderer or a thief or adulterer or a drunkard. There's no way, Lord. But Lord, You gave Your Son for us. Lord, I'm thankful for Your love, thankful for Your gift that You've offered us through Jesus Christ, Lord. And I want to pray for those that are not saved, that have never received this gift. I pray that they would cry out to You today, that they put their faith and trust in Jesus today, so that they can say that I'm saved and I'm not condemned. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, those of us that have trusted Christ, I pray that these verses would be a source of security, a source of just comfort and peace. And Lord, that it would also be a source of surrender. Lord, as we think about what Christ has done for us, that we would surrender to our lives to serve Him, that we would allow Him to be the Lord of our lives, to be able to guide us and lead us and to show us what He wants us to do. Lord, I pray that You'd have Your way and Your will. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. want to thank you for tuning in today. And if you have any questions, need of spiritual help, you email me at pastor@bbcdumas.com, and we will get back with you as soon as possible. And church family, we love you. We miss you. And I hope you have a blessed Lord's Day today. God bless you.